Matt Heath, Jeremy Wells, Laura McGoldrick, The Howrecky Breakfast.
Hello, I'm Matt Heath.
I'm Jeremy Wells.
I'm Laura McGoldrick.
Ooh, have we got some good stuff in today's podcast. Enjoy.
May the seed of your loins be fruitful in the belly of your woman. It's The Howrecky Breakfast.
This morning, Matthew, Jeremy Wells is...
Like Mike.
Regular listeners to the program should by now be well aware of my love for the good old-fashioned egalitarian views of the National Party. They are the custodians of common sense, swimming in a pool of politically correct pea water. Over the past 7 years, John Key and the National Party have saved our nation from illegitimate lightbulb legislation, Maori favouritism and gay-friendly gobbledygook by governing properly through Colmar Brunton research polls and focus groups. I'm loath to criticise them because John and I have a very good working relationship, which has to be maintained. Plus, I'd love to show him my sex bits at some stage after he's left office. But even I think the National Party candidate for Northland is a complete moron. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I care about Northland and its dull economy, because I don't. Newstalk ZB doesn't have any listeners up there due to the high Maori population, so I can spout this nonsense with gay abandon, knowing they don't affect my numbers, and I'll never visit there because the roads are too bumpy for my Ferrari. The only thing dumber than Northland is National's Northland candidate Mark Osborne. Any idiot who can't remember place names should be stood down. He's making Winston look good. Thank God John Key is coming home from Japan to save the day. I've often found myself late at night thinking of John Key arriving in my window, wearing nothing but a cape and a mask, making my bits feel assured. But to be honest, I'm not sure even Super John could polish this Northland in his nuts. Happy days. We'll see you tomorrow.
And that was the Howrecky Breakfast Hosking Rant. Howrecky Breakfast.
Matt Heath. Jeremy Wells. Laura McGoldrick.
It's very important to support your team using chants and songs, as was shown at Eden Park in that fantastic semi-final between the Black Caps and South Africa. And how good was it to hear some of the chants that we've created echoing out across the Eden Park at about 107 decibels. For example, our Corey Anderson chant. When you attempt that one on Sunday in front of your TV, or if you're lucky enough to be going to Melbourne, that it's bats and bowls first, then bowls and bats seconds. Bats, B-A-A-B-O, second.
Now, the other one that we did, of course, is the Trent Bolt chant set to Flash, which is a little bit more difficult to get the timing right, because you've got to go bolt, 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 and as Trent bowls, you've got to go Trent. It's not easy.
And the middle eight's even harder.
Very hard.
Crucial.
He can swing the ball in most conditions.
It's a man with a very small mouth.
He is. He's a partner in crime of Tim South. He.
Of course, the hero of the day on Tuesday was the great Grant Elliott, also known as the Hairy Javin. So we thought we'd be remiss if we didn't organise a chant slash song for that great man. And we have done exactly that to the tune of the Pixies. Here comes your man.
He's got a dick so long, so long, so long. He's got a dick so long. Here comes the jam. Here comes the jam. Here comes the jam. Here comes the jam. The hairy jam. The hairy jam.
Jeremy, Laura, the Howracky Breakfast. Live from the Michael Fowler Centre, this is the New Zealander of the Week, thanks to the Inter-Islander. Book today to make this summer's trip your most remembered journey. Inter-Islander.co.nz.
The Howracky Breakfast New Zealander of the Week Award is the highest honour ever bestowed on a living New Zealander. Other than the Tux Wonder Dog Trophy, the Farming Wearable Art Awards, and the McDonald's Employee of the Month Live-In Branch. Previous New Zealander of the Week winners include Hansie former Sierra CEO Roger Sutton, No Top Teeth veteran broadcaster Peter Williams, and the Graylin Fruit Fly. This week's judges are Nelson Mandela, E.T., and Ladysmith Black Mambazo. The judges have made their decision, and Matt, I believe you have the envelope.
I certainly do, Jeremy, and I'll just pass it over to you.
Thank you very much.
All right, drop that.
The winner of the Howracky Breakfast New Zealander of the Week is
the Hairy Javelin, Grant Elliott.
Judge Nelson Mandela said, "The way Elliott broke the shackles of an oppressive South African regime reminded me of my own struggles. In many ways, the Jav is a better man and more historically important man than me. It took me 27 years to change the world. It took the Hairy Javelin just one delivery. I also understand he has a long and hairy downstairs." Judge Ladysmith Black Mambazo commented, "Like most black South Africans, we hate cricket, but love the Jav. Give him a taste of Joburg-flavoured kiwi, you beautiful, beautiful Hairy Javelin." And Judge E.T. said,
Elliot.
Hairy downstairs, mates with E.T., more historically significant than Nelson Mandela. Give him a taste of kiwi, scratchy-bearded, match-winning black cap hero Grant the Hairy Javelin Elliot. You are the Howracky Breakfast New Zealander of the Week. Congratulations to this week's New Zealander of the Week, Grant Elliott. Call 0800 Howracky now and claim your prize, a return trip for four people and one car overseas on the Inter-Island.
Howracky Breakfast.
Matt, Jeremy and Laura.
Jeremy, last week you pushed the Fact Factor faithful too far. So as you know, I've created the Fact Factor Rebel League, the FFFRL. No admin, no Jeremy, just facts. And it's proved hugely popular. Texts from all over the country. Hashtag good and hashtag FFFRL have been seen in several feeds. To celebrate the first successful week of the Fact Factor Ribble League or FFFRL, when I win this Fact Factor Ribble League or FFFRL, the first three callers through get Fact Factor Faithful t-shirts. That's how much I want to celebrate the success of this week. What a week it's been. I've won every day.
Do you mind if I just help you out with a little bit of admin here?
No admin, please.
Look, just let me lend a hand for a second. It's been a great week for you, Matt, in the Fact Factor Faithful Rebel League on Monday. in light of 4,000 people turning up to a party in Dunedin. You won with Keg Facts, remember?
Yeah.
On Tuesday, in light of the semi-final, you won again with Semi Facts. On Wednesday, you celebrated the Black Caps' victory with some great javelin facts. And yesterday, you delivered some fantastic India facts.
That's actually a pretty good roundup of the week.
See, just a little bit of well-placed admin isn't such a bad thing. I could help you out with some admin next week, perhaps. I've actually got some time on my hands, seeing as I'm not doing the Fact Factor anymore.
I don't know, Jeremy. There's been a lot of water under the bridge. I'm still hurting from how you treated me. I mean, I can't even imagine what your admin would sound like in the Fact Factor River League.
Do you want me to just give a little go?
Let me have a go. Okay, just give me a little go.
Well, what's your topic this morning? What do you want to do?
Well, I was thinking because it's the final of the Cricket World Cup at the MCG, I was thinking I'd do final facts.
So I'd say something like, in light of New Zealand playing at the MCG for the final of the Cricket World Cup on Sunday, the topic for today is finals facts.
It's actually pretty good.
It's the Fact Factor Faithful Rebel League. No admin. No judgment. Just facting good facts.
Brazil only began wearing yellow jerseys after losing the 1950 World Cup final, where they stopped using the traditional white, believing it was jinxed.
Now that's a super fact, Matt. Fact 2.
Author J.K. Rowling wrote the final chapter of the last Harry Potter book in 7 years... Author J.K. Rowling wrote the final chapter of the last Harry Potter book 7 years before the release of the first Harry Potter book.
Great fact, Matt. Really good. Fact 3.
A white man hasn't run in the 100 metres finals at the Olympics since 1980.
3 for 3. Another fantastic fact. Today, Matt, you definitely have the Fact Factor Faithful Rebel League Fact Factor. Join us, same place tomorrow for the administrative Faff and Paff Free Fact Factor Faithful Rebel League.
Good morning. Is there something you'd like to say?
Oh, wow, I'm on the radio. Oh, that's very cool. Just good morning, everyone. Love listening to you guys.
Yeah. Yep. And, of course, I've won the Fact Factor Ribble League this week.
Yes, I have.
You have?
Sorry, did you say you have?
Oh, I have, yeah.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Yeah. So you're ringing up to congratulate me so you can win a T-shirt. Is that what's going on here?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Oh, well done. You've done that. Hold the line, caller. Good morning and welcome to the Fact Factor Ribble League.
Good morning, Matthew. Congratulations on your splendid work on the Fact Factor, sir. Good effort.
Thank you so much. Have you been enjoying the Fact Factor Rebel League, or are you more of a Fact Factor fan?
I've been enjoying the Fact Factor since you were doing it with the General in the afternoon.
Ah!
Exactly. My friend. Good work.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate that. Good morning. Is there something you'd like to say?
Congratulations, Matt Heath. Absolute scene.
Pandemonium. Absolute scenes. 5 years. You've won yourself.
And even though the boundaries were just so big, you've overcome the admin. Well done.
Thank you. You have a great weekend and you've won yourself a Fact Factor Faithful T-shirt. It's a good feeling in the Fact Factor Rebel League. I'm not sure, Jeremy. I'm not sure if we need you.
Matt Heath, Jeremy Wells, Laura McGoldrick.
The Hauraki Breakfast.
You have some good days and some bad days on the radio. This podcast highlights a show that was right in the middle of the bell curve.
We we gave it a go.
It's a great pleasure to welcome to the Hauraki Breakfast Studio Andrew Mulligan from Radio Sport. How are you?
Oh, mate, I'm pumped to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, the reason why we brought you in today is because we're a huge fan of your call of the Breakers' sensational fourth title.
Ibekwe for the win!
You summed up the moment so beautifully. Your emotion was, the emotion was the same as the viewer's emotion, and your line, absolute scenes,
yeah,
has now been carved into the consciousness of the nation.
I've had it thrown back at me lately. It's been quite good with the cricket. Like, that's pretty cool that people are like, that's a great way of describing something. I'm really, really pumped.
The other day after we'd won the game, you may have heard the ACC call, but all we could say was absolute scenes.
A hairy javelin has done it for New Zealand. Absolute scenes.
Absolute scenes.
And then when we went into town afterwards, everybody was saying absolute scenes. We were walking past people, they were yelling absolute scenes. We were saying these are absolute scenes, there's no doubt about it. It's now stuck into the, it's now something that's in the Kiwi vernacular. Do you have something written before those moments to make sure that what you're going to say is what you want to say? Because you know that that moment's going to be replayed over and over again.
Yeah, no, I don't, because it's Keith Quinn who was scrambling for the piece of paper that he had as all muscle and pump for Jonah's try. And he ended up with, oh, oh.
Wide to Lomu. He's got the bounce. He's handed it off his opposite. Lomu. Oh, oh.
That's his moment. And he's embraced it. So I thought, oh, no, don't write something down. Just let it go. But I just always thought if there's going to be a game-winning shot in basketball, which is pretty cool, you can have those moments. You just let the TV pictures do it. And I went a bit quiet and then thought, what did I just see? And then it was pandemonium.
Well, it was the absolute cliche victory, buzzer victory, wasn't it?
It was. It was that moment that you just wanted to do as a kid yourself in any kind of sport.
But now your absolute scenes has leaked out of basketball. It's leaked into cricket.
It's an honour you've embraced it, guys. It absolutely is.
Well, for me, it's right up there with the Keith Quinn, And in that same way that you probably wouldn't have written the words absolute scenes before you did it, and you probably wouldn't have scripted absolute scenes.
No.
It just describes something perfectly. And the Keith Quinn moment for me is a magnificent moment too.
Yeah, it is. And everyone will always identify with that moment. There's Jonah over the top of Mike Catt. Keith Quinn,
Well, Keith Quinn was lost for words. I mean, that was the thing. And he was, because he was scrambling for his bit of paper, as you said. And what was his all muscle and pump?
Yeah,
that
was all
the line
muscle and pump or something.
And
he
just came out. Nowhere near as good as
just an orgasm.
Yeah, the second orgasm. But that's the thing. Keith didn't realise at the time, but he probably does now. That's what we're saying at home. It's like he's just, what? It's all over that. You're sitting at home and you're just sort of
Was jizzing, we were jizzing.
Yeah.
He was jizzing with us.
It was just jizz everywhere.
Man, he jizzed. For a guy of his age, I've never seen so much jizz come out of a 65-year-old member.
Hauraki Breakfast. Matt Heath. Jeremy Wells. Laura McGoldrick.
We're back with Kroger's Wild Breakfast, Andrew Mulligan.
Now, well, one thing that you are better at than, say, the Alternative Commentary Collective is not just blasting the microphones, because when I hear our calling of the Hairy Javelin 6 to win that fantastic game against South Africa, there's so much yelling and screaming that the volume of the whole broadcast halves as everything peaks out.
He pulls us!
Yeah. Whereas your absolute scenes, did you move away from the microphone or did you just manage to deliver the emotion but at the same volume?
I don't know. I think I just, it's those crappy old lip mics that you hold up there and it's like 1,000 broadcasters' sweat beads have gone on it. You know, there's like a bowler and the little guard bit there. I think I was just screaming into it. The poor person, probably it's Leanne and the truck is right in the fader. It's just, it is what it is. But see, your commentary though was being emailed around Sky. That people loving it. Have you heard this off the old SoundCloud? And we're playing it on Radio Sport at the moment. It is the reaction that everybody has in
Jeff,
you guys' perspective.
Jeff.
Oh, we love the Jeff.
Love the Hairy Javelin.
Who got caught out at the end? There's only one or two of them still going with the Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's been a lot of cocktails. This is the thing, Andrew. We meant to have cocktail hour, but it turned into cocktail 3 hour because people were so nervous.
Yeah.
And they were quite strong cocktails. So, by the end of it, we couldn't actually get the clapping right either. We were doing some clapping game before that. We couldn't get the timing right.
Yeah.
It was disastrous.
So that would have been cool for you guys to call that moment, because you guys are wildly popular now.
I wouldn't say we're wildly popular, but certainly would have been great to have been at the game. Unfortunately, we're not allowed at the game anymore. Our accreditation is taken away from us.
Thrown under a bus there.
So we couldn't be at the game, and we ended up having to drive around the ICC. We're in our caravan. We're driving from location to location because the ICC goons are trying to shut us down. They're following us. They found us a couple of times. We had to move on. Found our caravan the night before.
We got cut off at one point, and it got cut off, and it started broadcasting a previous broadcast of the Sri Lankan game.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they were triangulating our point. They were driving around in this white van. Mm-hmm. And, so we managed to get away from them. Thank God we called the last bit, because that was my fear, was that those goons were going to catch us right before the last moment.
And if I hadn't got to yell, jab, 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 that would have been it for me.
Yeah.
I'd have packed it in.
The best moment, actually, for me is having that, seeing that 10-year-old go up and ask the Hairy Javelin for his autograph, and then he hands it to me and said, could you sign it, the Hairy Javelin?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, have you seen that?
No, I have not seen that.
Yeah, there's great footage of it.
There is 10-year-olds listening to you guys. It's good.
I'm terrifying.
And there's a moment in Grant Elliott's eyes when he goes, well, the Hairy Javelin is actually about, because it's actually about his dad's desk.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think the mainstream media have picked up on that. They think it's because he's tall and hairy.
Yeah, and everyone asks, why is he, he's so skinny.
Yeah, so you got Royd and Chris.
And he's hairy.
You got Royd and Christy on breakfast calling him the Hairy Javelin. Everyone's going, it's just basically describing guy with quite a lot of pubes and a.
But he's embraced it himself. I've seen on Twitter. His handle is now the Hairy Javelin. I think he's got the t-shirt. The
picture. His wife's loving the t-shirt. Mm. His wife wears it to bed.
Well, thank you so much for coming and see us, Andrew Mulligan, coming down from Radio Sport. And yes, absolute scenes. One of the greatest and most emotional calls in New Zealand sporting history, and you should be very proud.
Thank you so much. It's so cool coming down from Hoskins Ivory Tower. It's hard to get out of that.
Well, we're not allowed up there.
Yeah.
Matt, Jeremy, Laura, the Howracky Breakfast. The agenda.
Later, GCSB after Mr. Hankey soon. Right royal rule change, but right now, free trade or corporate raid.
New Zealand governments could be open to legal action from foreign companies, according to leaked documents from the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations. The leaking of one chapter appears to show multinational corporations could challenge domestic laws, causing a large number of New Zealand's lawyers and doctors to express huge concern over the possible consequences. So is that basically saying that overseas companies could then sue our government and force them to do certain things, like if they don't want certain standards on their products or
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they could.
Wow. But we're already trying to score our own goals with plain packaged cigarettes here, aren't we?
Well, you know what? I read something the other day about plain packaged cigarettes in Australia, and it's totally worked.
Has it?
Surprise, surprise. Well, of course, which is why the tobacco company is working so hard not to, to fight it, is because they totally know that it will work.
If it doesn't work, plain packet cigarettes, then all marketing doesn't work, I guess, is the thing. All branding doesn't work. And we know branding does work.
Yeah, totally. Particularly with ciggies, because, I've always thought the ciggy branding is interesting because it markets towards a really old, sophisticated market. It's brilliant marketing because it's not it's totally reverse marketing. So it makes you think that they're marketing towards old, sophisticated people. But how many 45-year-olds, sophisticated 45-year-olds, have just all of a sudden taken up smoking out of the blue? Like, probably 0.001% of people.
Yeah.
And yet, most of the people that smoke are young people because they're looking at this thing and they're saying, oh, that looks old, that looks sophisticated, that looks classy.
Yeah.
It's very clever, mate.
But what about like little things like just curved edges on the top of the box when you get that? Or the soft packs?
Well, how's the little bit of gold leaf that you pull out of the top? That's the gold. They should ban the gold leaf because the gold leaf just makes it look like luxury.
When you hold like a, the curved edges.
Oh, yeah. You've got the smell.
The blue packet.
When you open it and you flick the top of the box and then you flick the gold leaf off. And that smell from the filter of the tobacco. That smell is magnificent, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't get much better than that smell.
That will work.
Then you light one of them and it tastes disgusting, but still.
Worth it just for feeling up the packet, feeling of the packet, buying it.
The cleanness, the whiteness of that filter before it's been smoked, like that lured me as a 9-year-old. That was very attractive for some reason to me.
The walking out of the store, removing the plastic and throwing it in the bin, and walking down the street and just unpacking.
Oh yeah,
the unpacking
and the flick of the bottom of the Marlboro soft pack 20s as you try and flick them up.
The soft pack.
Oh, the soft pack.
The soft pack.
Mm. Mm. Let's go outside for a sugi.
Yeah. Craving one. Sha-la-la-la.
Just jokes, bro, just jokes. Let's not go for a sickie.
Just jokes, bro.
Let's go for a sickie.
Yeah, Port Royal. Yeah. Roll them up.
Howracky Breakfast.
Matt, Jeremy and Laura.
It's our great pleasure to welcome to the Howracky Breakfast New Zealand cricket writer for the Herald, Andrew Alderson. Good morning, Andrew.
Morning, everyone.
We now know who our opponent is in the final of the Cricket World Cup 2015. It is Australia.
It is indeed, and you can't ask for much better of a showdown at the MCG, and with all the history riding on it, than Australia against New Zealand. And I think you've got the two best teams too, haven't you? After having watched cricket for the last 40-odd days and just seeing what they're going to be up against. I think too that New Zealand, they're fighting quite an interesting corner here, because it's effectively them against what we've seen as the big three in the last year or so, and they're fighting for the future of the smaller nations in the cricketing world.
Oh, added pressure there. They're fighting for the whole future of world cricket, as well as the hopes and dreams of New Zealand fans.
Empires against, yeah, exactly.
Oh, this is a sort of Star Wars type battle.
Andrew Alderson, yesterday, of course, Matthew Hayden came out and said that New Zealand will struggle on the MCG because it's too big. He's probably got a point, doesn't he?
Oh, I think he has, actually. I wouldn't always agree with Matthew Hayden, but on this occasion, I think he made a good point. And, yeah, it's a big carpet at the FCG, and I think the New Zealanders will go well on the fielding side, fit and rearing to go in that capacity. But I think they would have to adjust their hitting strategy in a way. I mean, I think maybe with the ball on the ground a bit more, pushing for twos, you know, rather than singles, and trying to make twos into threes, that sort of stuff. I think it's not something that's beyond the New Zealand team, and they've shown they can adapt across a wide range of situations and variables as the tournament's gone on. They can chase, they can set totals, and I think that this just makes it another fascinating scenario that we're going to be faced with on Sunday.
So what does someone like Brendan McCullum do? He's just got to play his natural game, doesn't he, which is generally hitting the ball in the air.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I think it's what he's going to end up doing, isn't he? And he's going to try and lead from the front. And we've seen it's worked so successfully over the course of the tournament. Why would he stop? But I think the MCG adds another factor with that. It's no Eden Park, put it that way.
No, it's not. Andrew, India went wrong last night, probably in the death overs is probably where they lost the game almost. They should have probably been bowling Yorkers. Instead, they were bowling length balls to batsmen like Mitchell Johnson. Hopefully New Zealand doesn't make that same mistake.
Yeah, that's quite a key area too, I think, the death overs. And I don't know that New Zealand has been tested, if there's anywhere in their game plan, enough in that capacity. So I think that's one area it's a bit too late now to work on it, but that's the area it's just so hard for any team at the moment, though, isn't it? In those death overs where teams seem to be able to get 100 off the last 10 or more, especially when you add the power play into that, the batting one, it's something that's quite difficult to contain.
Don't need death overs if you bowl them out in 32 overs, do you?
Oh, I like that's you. Right. I like right. your that's attitude, Matt. That's totally true. I mean, that's the big thing for New Zealand. They've just got to continue to keep taking wickets during the innings and I guess play exactly the same way that they're playing and attack the Australians.
Yeah, I think so. You've just got to try and do what they did in that first match at Eden Park, where the wickets fell, the star or much-vaunted Australian batsman didn't quite live up to expectation there. Because you had that swinging ball, and I think if they can continue to do that, that's a massive asset that they've got that perhaps other teams like India, who are reliant on the seam and the shorter pitch deliveries, that they didn't have.
Give us your odds for the match, Andrew Alderson, New Zealand Herald cricket writer.
Well, I'm going to take New Zealand. Again, I've taken them throughout the tournament, so I'll take them, but I think the odds would be perhaps stacked a bit against them this time, after what we've seen from Australia as the tournaments have gone on, and the fact they'll be at home, and with that. But then that adds expectation and demands on them, and I think the New Zealand team, they're going to be in a position where it's almost they have no limits now. They've gone beyond what's been achieved before, and I just quite like that element to them, that they're setting new ground and creating a new legacy themselves.
Huge game this weekend, the biggest game in New Zealand cricket history. Look, thanks for joining us, Andrew Alderson, New Zealand Herald cricket writer, and thank you very much for your contribution throughout the World Cup. We hopefully will talk to you on Monday morning, and we will just be dancing and singing and hugging and kissing and possibly dry rooting. So thank you very much for your time, and thanks for what you've done during the World Cup for us.
No problem. We look forward to all those things.
Matt Heath, Jeremy Wells, Laura McGoldrick.
The Howricky Breakfast.
And that's goodbye from me, Matt Heath.
Me, Laura McGoldrick.
And me, Jeremy Wells. We'll see you tomorrow.